I've been told to keep it short this morning because there's two services, but I'm an expert at being short. So it's all good. Well, that's true. Thank goodness. So, there's something pretty amazing about childbirth, about newborn babies, isn't there?
Oh, yes.
Now, before I get cracking, just want to make this clear to you. There is no new film, A Baby. That is not what I'm getting at here. We've made that perfectly clear that that's not going to happen again. But there's something just awesome and wonderful and fascinating about newborn babies and that whole process of child growth and development inside a mother's womb. From the moment the sperm meets the egg, from that very moment of conception, the entire genetic makeup of that child is decided, is made up, is complete, including the gender of that baby, from that very moment. And then as the baby begins to grow and develop inside the mother's womb, at the size of a grape, the arms and legs are already well formed. At the size of a grape. And then tiny little fingers and toes start to form at that size. It's incredible. And then tiny little eyelids and ears begin to form at that size. It's just phenomenal. And then at 20 weeks, as he or she starts to grow and develop further, they can then suck their thumb and yawn and make faces at 20 weeks. And then as the process goes on, the child gets ready to come out and to meet the world and begins to position itself perfectly, in most cases, to come out and meet the world. And it's just incredible. And the woman's body begins to shift and change again in preparation for the arrival of this baby. And that whole process is just miraculous because every single bit of it is perfect and has been designed and created so that the baby can develop as it should and that it can exit as it should and that it can arrive into the world as this perfect little miracle. It's just phenomenal. The whole process from start to finish is a perfect process designed by our perfect God. Now take that already incredible and amazing process and add to it the fact that this baby being born is the Son of God. Wow. And not only that, it's been conceived miraculously. So this miraculous process of child development and growth and birth is then added to by the fact that the conception in the first place was also miraculous. So it's just phenomenal and it's mind-boggling. It makes you just go, wow, this thing is so amazing. So let me read this morning from a portion of scripture in Matthew where it talks about the birth of Jesus. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. And it says this: Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, we read that story and we hear that story and we see it in various forms so often that perhaps we become a little bit immune to the power and the awe and the wonder that is encapsulated in the story of the birth of Jesus. You know, perhaps we just lose sight of what it means to celebrate Christmas. So I just want to summarize the importance of the Christmas story really quick for you. Love came down. Love came down. That's it. It's that simple. The Christmas story is as simple as those three words. Love came down. Its beauty is in its simplicity. You know, the world was lost. It was going downhill fast and people were messing up left, right and centre. But this had all happened before. This wasn't new. People had been messing up since the start of time. And God had dealt with this before. Before the Christmas story took place, God had dealt with the sin of humanity. He sent a great flood and wiped out all of humanity but a handful and started again. He hit the reset button on the earth. He said, no, enough's enough. Flood came, wiped everything out and started from scratch. Maybe we'll get it right this time. But no, of course not. We are human. We fell at the beginning of time, and that cannot change even with a flood. So hundreds of years later, after that natural disaster, things are not going great again. And it's not really a surprise. So God could have looked down on the earth and seen the state that it was in and said, okay, it's time to hit that button again. Flood, natural disaster, wipe out humanity, start again. But he didn't. He chose not to hit reset. He chose not to start again. Why? Because it wouldn't solve the problem. All it would do is fix something in the short term, like it did with the flood. But God is in this for the long game. Another natural disaster at that moment in time would have been like sticking a plaster on a bullet wound. It was not going to solve the problem. It was not going to stop the flood of sin that came out of us as humanity. It was not going to solve the problem. So he sent his son, Jesus, into the earth. Love came down. Simple as that. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Love came down. So for me, when I hear that phrase, I first think Jesus coming down from somewhere up there, coming down to here. Like heaven is a physical place above us, and he could just take the stairs or maybe the lift if he's feeling lazy. Love came down. So literally, Jesus comes down from heaven to earth. But that's not quite what it's getting at. Within this phrase, love came down, we see the reality of just what God did. The Almighty God, the all-powerful God, the all-knowing God, the creator of heaven and of earth, was conceived in an ordinary young girl in a town called Nazareth. And she gave birth to a son, and she named him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Almighty, all-powerful God came down. He lowered himself from being an infinite being to the finiteness of humanity, of man. So it's not about him physically descending from heaven, it's about him changing his state from God to man. Now let me make that clear, it's not to say that he was not fully God, he was fully God, but he was also fully man with all the frailties and imperfections that come with it and that you and I have to face. God came down and became man. And even that wasn't enough of a lowering of status, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords could have chosen to come down from earth into any situation, and it still would have been lowering himself from God to man. He could have chosen to come down into a palace. He could have chosen to come down into a family of authority and of influence and of great wealth. And he still would have been lowering himself from the position of God. But instead, he chose an ordinary girl. Perhaps even a poor girl. And out of something ordinary came something extraordinary. He didn't choose a palace. He chose a stable. He didn't have a cot. He had a feeding trough. He wasn't surrounded by royalty. He was looked on by animals. When love came down, the Almighty God became fully human for us, with all of the weakness and frailty that that brings. But why? Why choose such a modest and lowly start in life? Do you know, I believe he came in humility to identify with the poorest and the weakest among us. He chose a simple beginning instead of luxury, so that from the very outset of his life, from the very beginning of his time on earth, he wanted to demonstrate that he was not here simply for those who were rich or had status, but for all people, for everyone. Love came down. He came for you. He came for me. Love came down and rescued me, as the song says. Love came down and rescued me. And I love this time of year for reminding us of that. That his birth is just the beginning. It doesn't end there. His birth happened for a purpose. Now, I don't know about you, but this time of year is ridiculously busy. Okay? So it's ridiculously busy anyway, but for some reason, this year, work is ridiculously busy. Normally, December is very quiet at work, which is nice, because we can start to plan for 2018. We can start to have some space and some thinking time about what we're going to do for the next year. But this year, no, there is no time. I'm working ridiculously hard at work, and then we come home and there's stuff with church and there's the kids and there's Christmas to plan, and thankfully Ruth's incredible and she's done all of the shopping and will hopefully do all of the wrapping, and she's kind of supporting in that busyness. But life is crazy busy. There's so much to do. There's so much to prepare for. And I know it gets said every year, probably, but life can become so busy at this time of year that we almost forget why we do all of this stuff. And it is a bit cliche to say that, but I think it's true. I think it's true that we just get so busy that we don't spend enough time thinking about the real reason that we're doing all of this stuff. The reason that we have Christmas parties and carol services and Christmas Day services and presents to buy is because of the birth of Jesus. That's the reason that we're doing all of this stuff. Perhaps you've been to a school nativity already this year, but we're so focused on how well our kid's doing in the play. Or we've noticed that girl who's crying and not saying her lines. Or we've noticed that little boy picking his nose, that we forget to kind of grasp what it is that these children are trying to tell us through the nativity story. Do you know, there was a study done this year of 2,000 adults, and it showed that despite the prevalence of nativity plays and Christian teaching in schools, that millions are still confused about why we celebrate Christmas. This was done this year on 2,000 adults in Britain. The results showed that 1 in 5 Brits didn't know that Jesus was born on Christmas Day. Some of them thought it was Easter. Do you know, the team doing that study said this. They said, "For many of us, Christmas is a festivity we all look forward to celebrating with our loved ones. But over time, it seems people are becoming more and more unaware about the real reason we mark the day and also the story of Jesus." It's so sad, but it's true that people just are unaware or forgetting or just not understanding what it is that we're celebrating. And the whole reason that we celebrate this time of year is because love came down to rescue us. The purpose of his birth was not just so that he could be born and to be on earth and spend time with us, but it was to set him on a journey towards the cross, where he would ultimately die and conquer death and defeat sin and save humanity. The reason for his birth was so that God didn't need to press that reset button ever again. So in amongst all of that busyness of preparing for Christmas, I think it's great that we can spend time on a Sunday morning or at a carol service or even at a nativity to understand the real reason that we celebrate Christmas. Now, in Matthew 1:21, an angel appears to Joseph and says, "She, Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You shall name him Jesus. And as we've said before from the platform, biblical names are so important. And the meaning of Jesus is the Lord is salvation, or the Lord saves. He came to save. That was his sole purpose for coming down to earth. Instead of hitting that reset button, God sent his son, Jesus. Jesus, the Lord saves. John 3:16, we know it well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whosoever believes in him should not die but have eternal life." Jesus came to save. Love came down and rescued us. It's as simple as that. Have you ever heard people say, "Oh, I can't go into church because if I go into church, God will strike me down, or I'll burst into flames when I walk through the doors." You know, I've had friends say that to me when I've said, "Oh, you should come along." "Oh, I can't go there. I can't step into a church building because God is going to strike me down. He hates me because of all of the bad stuff that I've done." Well, let me tell you, God isn't mad at you. He doesn't hate you. He's not going to strike you down if you screwed up this week and then you come to church. He loves you. He cares for you. He sent his son to die for you. He came down to save you. I love that he chose to do that. I love that he chose a way that was going to be final, a way that was going to solve the root of the problem and not just hitting the reset button and doing a quick fix. He chose to find a better way. He chose to find the only way that would give us completeness, that would make us whole again. He chose to lower himself. Love came down, lowered himself from God to man. He came into our space. He made eye contact with us. He walked with us. He came to earth to show us through his actions that he loves us. No greater love than this, it says in John 15:13. No greater love than this than to lay down his life for his friends. And in the greatest way possible, Jesus was born so that he could show his love for us. So why? Why are we talking about the cross right now? Why are we talking about Jesus' death now? It's Christmas. It's all about his birth. It's about the arrival of him, not his death. Well, that's true. That's true, but when Jesus was born, he came into the world, but then fast forward 30 years from his birth to the beginning of his ministry, and Jesus stood in the synagogue to read, and he chose this passage from the prophet Isaiah. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and to open the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's the passage of scripture that Jesus chose to read in the synagogue the very first time he stood up at the beginning of his ministry. He chose to say that. And he's saying, this is why I came to earth. This is why I'm here. This is my purpose, my mission, my life. I came to heal your hurts. Is there anyone here that's hurting this morning? Anyone here needs healing, either physical or spiritual or emotional? I have no doubt that there is, but love came down, and he came down to rescue us from our sins, but he also came to heal all of that stuff that goes wrong in our lives. And I hope you feel at Hope Church that you're in a place that is comfortable and that you can share those hurts with others, with the leaders, with friends, whatever it is. Because as we share the stuff that we're going through, we sometimes find people that are going through the same thing. And it's so encouraging to hear someone who's been there saying, don't give up, don't stop, don't give in, keep pressing on, keep pressing in, because it's just around the corner. Change is coming, change is happening. Do not give up. Do you know, that's church family. That is what we're doing here. That is the reason that we do church, because we need to come alongside each other and support each other, because we cannot do life on our own. We have God, and that is so, so good, because he is the provider. He is our refuge. He is our friend. So I just want to quickly jump back and bring reference to what I was saying last time I was on the platform. I said, how beautiful are the feet of the messenger bringing the good news who proclaim peace and salvation. How beautiful are the feet of the messenger bringing the good news. Luke tells us of the shepherds. We're just going to skip to Luke chapter 2. He tells us here of the shepherds hearing that news of Jesus' birth, of his arrival into the earth. And it says this, starting at verse 8 in chapter 2. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. They went with haste. I like that about the shepherds. They heard this message. I can't imagine what they must have been feeling like in their field, just, you know, tending to their sheep. And then this angel appears. Do not fear. It's funny how every time an angel appears, they say, do not fear. Well, I'm gonna, because this is scary as heck. You've appeared to me. I don't know what this is. They must have been petrified. But then the angel said to them, I'm bringing good news. This thing has happened. Go and see it. And then this host appears singing. Wow, what an awesome sight that must have been. And then when they went away, the shepherds wasted no time. They got straight to action, no hesitation. Let's go. They went with haste. They didn't take a few days to pray about it. They didn't organize a meeting to have a chat about what they should do with this news. They didn't organize a meeting to have a meeting about the meeting where they would decide what they were going to do. They just saw and heard and went without hesitation. What's our group? They did none of that. They saw, they heard, they went. How beautiful are the feet of the messenger bringing the good news. Well, the shepherds sure had some good news, didn't they? They had news of peace and of salvation, and how beautiful are the feet of the messenger. The passage we were looking at a few weeks back said, bringing the good news down the mountain. It's almost like charging down after having heard this. Well, you know, they went with haste. They didn't mess around. They heard and they went straight away to see this thing. And then they were filled with awe and wonder, and they went away changed. Do you know, as Christians, we want to be continually moving forward in our journey of faith. And as we move forward with Christ at the center, we move towards God's best. We move our life towards God's best. And the more we move towards him, the more and more we become like him. And like the person that we were created to be, our future selves. That person who we desire to be, who we aim to be, who we were created to be. But when we're moving our lives forward, hesitation can be a killer. Hesitation.
One, two, there we go. Where was I? Okay, so as Christians, we're continually moving forward and forward into God's best for our lives. So as we press on and we press in with God at the center, we move towards our future selves, towards the person that God has created us to be. But when we're moving ourselves forward, hesitation can be a killer. Hesitation stops us in our flow. It's that doubt or that fear that comes over us that stops us from making progress in God's plans for our lives. But we need to keep taking action. We need to not hesitate. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be creating WhatsApp groups or having meetings or praying about stuff. That can be important. But we need to understand when some things happen, there's no time for that. You just need to take action. Because when God speaks clearly into your life, you don't need to pause. You don't need to stop and think about it because you're so overwhelmed with this word that God has placed in your lives and this call to action that he's put inside of you, that you could just go. Don't stop. Just go. No hesitation. No pausing. Go with haste. Be brave. Be bold. Take action. Do you know, sometimes we know things in our head, but we don't take action. Interestingly, in Hebrew culture, to know and to do are intertwined. So to know something in Hebrew culture is to do it. And to not do something is to not know it. So if you know something, you do it. Our words, the things we say, the stuff in our heads, it's really important, but it's our actions that are even more important. Those of us with kids will know that all too well. Our actions are so important because they watch us and they mimic us and they become like mini-me's. So I encourage you this morning to not become blind to the importance of the Christmas story. No matter how many times you've heard it, no matter how many times you've seen it, no matter how many times someone's preached it, do not become numb to the importance and the awe and the wonder of the Christmas story. Because wrapped up in all the complexity and the finer details, in amongst all of those trimmings and the who and the where and the when, is a really simple message. Love came down. Love came down. God chose to intervene. He chose not to hit the reset button, but he chose instead to roll up his sleeves and to get stuck in, to come down to earth, to become like us, to become relatable, and to meet with us face to face. And it's because of that. It's because of his decision, because of his great act of love, that we have hope. Hope to move forward. Confidence to press on and press in to God's best for our lives, to become the men and women that God put us on this earth to be. All because love came down. Simple.